W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News. The CEO of TikTok is set to testify before Congress.
Popular video sharing app TikTok is facing growing backlash on Capitol Hill as lawmakers cite concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could share user data with China's government. Republican Senator Josh Hawley has proposed a nationwide ban on TikTok, citing national security risks. In March, TikTok's CEO will now testify to lawmakers for the first time. The House Energy and Commerce Committee says the hearing will cover TikTok's privacy and data security practices, the platform's impact on kids, and its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Scholze, ABC News, Washington.
Lisa Loring, who played TV's first Wednesday Addams in the 1960s series The Addams Family, has died. Loring's representative confirming to ABC News she passed away on Saturday surrounded by family. Loring first starred as Wednesday when she was 6 years old. That role has attracted new attention with the success of Netflix's series Wednesday. Loring was 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Friday afternoon's massive interstate pileup near Beloit appears to be worse than we first thought. 85 vehicles collided in slippery whiteout conditions. The state patrol says 21 people got hurt. The freeway had to be closed from around 12:30 in the afternoon till 9:30 that night. One of the crashes caused a fire people could see for miles. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court could be one of the most expensive in state history and maybe the entire nation. The outcome could flip the court to liberal control for the first time in 15 years. Issues like abortion and Wisconsin's political map could come before the high court in the near future. In sports, the Bucks beat New Orleans yesterday 135-110. The Eagles and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck, and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So our quote of the day, former Obama senior advisor Dan Pfeiffer, he wrote, I worked in the West Wing during a financial crisis, a pandemic, multiple active terrorist plots, once-in-a-century storms, and the rise of ISIS. None of those threats were anywhere near as frightening as the two times the House Republicans tried to take the full faith and credit of the United States hostage. He writes, in both cases, a group of radical extremists with a faint grasp of reality, led by a weak speaker, almost stumbled ass backwards into the global financial crisis that would make 2008 look like an economic head cold. And look where we are now. Right back where we are. The hostage situation hath begun, and the assault on working people continues. And now in full court press by Republicans, conservative front groups, wealthy donors, and now we're going to rein in spending. I don't know if you saw the speaker over the weekend. McCarthy was on one of the talking head shows talking about, we need to get Washington spending under control. And that's code for there's a Democrat in the White House, and now's a good time to hold the globe hostage so we can go after those entitlement programs. You know, your Social Security and your Medicare that you paid for. Yeah, they've named that entitlement programs. You earned those. You paid for those. Those are yours. But they're trying to take them. And here to share some thoughts on where we are, I've asked Michael Leidy to come talk with us. Michael's the president of Healthy California Now. HealthyCA.org is their website. Here to share some thoughts on what we're seeing as the push to destroy our Medicare system. Michael, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Great to be here.
You know, it's interesting to me that, you know, whenever we get into these moments and you got a Republican-controlled House and there's a Democrat in the White House, it's always this ticking bomb kind of scenario of, you know, how much can they get? How much requester? How many pounds of flesh? And how do working people take it on the chin? And Social Security at the front of it, Medicare at the front of it. And it's amazing to me that even someone like Donald Trump says, leave that alone, that we don't push back harder.
I agree. And the fact is, directly funded. The trust fund, the payroll taxes we pay go into that trust fund, and that's not part of the general fund. Medicare, of course, is the best deal going. Ask anyone who's 64 how desperate they are to get on Medicare, you know, turn 65 and get on Medicare. Healthcare costs go through the roof. Administration and profits in the private sector, huge. In Medicare, it's 2%. 2% of the dollar goes to something other than patient care, 98% for the health care we need. That's just too good of a deal. That's too good of a government program for the GOP to leave alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these things where you go, just common sense. And this is where, you know, I almost don't care if it's a public or a private pool, but one giant insurance pool seems like the most common sense way to mitigate risk. Everybody in. It seems... I don't know. Even a dump truck driver can figure that out.
Well, it's exactly right. And in fact, that is why Medicare is so successful for that group of people who are in that risk pool, right, over 65. But it's just common sense. What's going to have leverage against this huge healthcare industry? Of all these hospitals and pharmaceutical companies, who's going to have leverage to actually negotiate so you can control costs? It's going to be one risk pool. It's exactly right. And it's the one thing that our system lacks that characterizes other national systems. The fragmentation and the resulting waste and profiteering is at the heart of our problems.
Do you find it interesting, like I do, that they've labeled Social Security and Medicare as entitlement programs?
Yes, I do, Rick. As a matter of fact, that's a way to delegitimize it, because somehow in the right-wing universe, if you're, you know, non-deserving, you get an entitlement. And in fact, as you said, it's an earned benefit. We paid for it. Payroll taxes have gone up to pay for it. In both cases, actually, Medicare and Social Security. So it's just another messaging point, and I'm afraid that the other side, you know, our side in favor of Social Security and Medicare, hasn't necessarily done as good a job. And we've often accepted that frame of entitlement.
Yeah, I've never have, because look, I pay to do it every week. I see it come out of my check, and I know the good that it did for my grandparents. You know, my grandmother was allowed to, you know, my grandparents lived in their home. Social Security, their union pension, and a little bit of a savings got them through their lives. Medicare saved their lives number of times. They didn't die in medical debt. Sounds like a good bargain to me. I don't know why we'd want to destroy it.
I agree. My grandparents in the same situation. My grandmother diabetic for over 35 years. Medicare paid for her insulin. My grandfather's painter's pension kept them, safe and sound. And you're absolutely right. The only reason they want to go after them is because they work, because they're a successful example of government providing for people and meeting working people's needs. And that's, of course, the opposite of what that Republican philosophy is all about.
See, this is one of those things where I'm torn, and maybe you can help, because I'm torn down the middle on this. Is it the hatred of government and the belief that government can do nothing, and then they set out and prove that government can do nothing? Or is it just the greed that they want to get their corporate masters want to get their hands on all that money and all that ability to deny us the things that we need? And I look at these advantage plans. I look at how much it costs, the privatization that we've inflicted on Medicare already and the damage that it's doing. I look at this and I go, you know, which is it? Is it, or is it both?
I think it's both, because look at take Social Security. Well, if you privatize Social Security, where does that retirement monies go? Into Wall Street's investment pools. They make huge commissions off that money. On the other hand, what happens if government doesn't look like it can take care of the elderly? Well, that delegitimizes government. That justifies tax cuts for the wealthy. It's all of a piece, I think, Rick. And in the case of Medicare, the truth is that those that you periodically hear about insolvency and so forth, that's just, again, a ruse to say we're not willing to pay for it, even though it's the most efficient and effective healthcare program out there. And so we privatize it, because what they want to do, they don't necessarily want to reduce the cost of Medicare. They want to shift the cost, right, from the public to the private, and shift the burden so that people can say, politicians, others, well, hey, that's not us. That's your private Medicare plan. Go talk to them. And the truth is that privatization has been a bipartisan dynamic. And that this goes back to the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, when they opened the door to privatize Medicare. And it, ever since then, Medicare has gotten more private, our life expectancies have decreased, and our share of the GDP going into healthcare spending has risen. So it's not exactly working.
No, again, this is where I say Republicans and corporate Democrats have destroyed this country in ways that we could spend days talking about, from media control to bad trade policies to the privatization of Medicare that gets us to this point. So the question then becomes, how do we reclaim this message? Because when you sit down and you explain to people, they go, you go, look, the amount of money that's being spent on these privatized plans is more than we spend on the traditional Medicare, which, you know, if you were to take, you would have threatened to take from my grandmother, she'd have beat you with her walker. How do we reclaim that?
Well, I think the people's experience in these Medicare Advantage plans, it sounds good. Hey, more benefits, might cost me less. But the truth is that once you actually need health care, they start denying it and you have no way to appeal it. And traditional Medicare comes with guarantees. Basically, if your doctor orders it, you're going to get it, and you have a very clear path to appeal if that doesn't happen. How we're going to change it is improve Medicare, first step. Like what we tried to do with Build Back Better was cover prescription drugs more effectively, cover, you know, lower prices, cover eyeglasses and hearing and dental benefits. Then the rationale for these private plans goes away. Secondly, we've got to really be serious about creating that single risk pool you're talking about. And the best way to do that is Medicare for All. Everybody in, nobody out, have the leverage to lower drug prices, get the profits out of healthcare, and just make sure that the money goes to people's healthcare, not the private company's profits. The profits are huge. This one estimate had overpayment in Medicare Advantage plans over a 10-year period of over $130 billion. Actually, a 9-year period, 2010 to 2019. So it's really extraordinary how much.
What? Yeah.
Yes.
What?
This UC, University of California, San Diego economist, when you add everything up, his initial base estimate was $106 billion. And then you go on top of that, you get as much as $130 billion. And you look at United Healthcare itself, right, has 6 million Medicare Advantage plans. It received excess payments of $6 billion. Excess payments.
And how does that happen? I mean, you know, and then why aren't we holding them criminally responsible? I mean,
yes. Well, because CMS is complicit. Basically, they had an audit program that showed these overpayments. And just today, they announced that they're actually not going to demand any of that money back, because they are basically in bed with the insurance companies. And it's really, there's blood on everybody's hands on this one, because they have the tools, they have the audit, they know what has happened, and they refuse to go after them. They refuse to lower the rates that these Medicare plans get for paying for sicker people. But the fact is, they can't prove that those people are actually sick, and they can't even document the basis for the extra reimbursement they ask for.
So is this the upcoding that we hear about?
This is the upcoding.
This is where they send people to your house to convince you that there's something wrong with you, so you'll go, and the commercials on TV for you to ask your doctor and all this stuff. Is that this part of all this?
That is exactly the part of it. That's exactly the part of it. And it's largely responsible for the overpayments. And they really, they're kind of reimbursement in one single year. For example, Medicare paid $2.6 billion for diagnosis backed up only by those health assessments that you talked about, where someone comes to the home. They said they had no records for 3.5 million people that actually, you know, they got any of the care that this assessment called for.
Wow.
And CMS knows this. And they don't do anything about it because they are so compromised with the industry.
I mean, so the swinging door, this is the swinging door in action. This is the revolving door of, you know, regulators overseeing industry and then going back into industry. This is that thing.
And it's congressional pressure. So Kristen Sinema led an effort among 15 senators to say, do not cut Medicare Advantage reimbursements, even though everyone knows they're overcharging Medicare. So it's political pressure from Congress as well.
It's crazy. I mean, and again, we don't hear this stuff. I mean, this is the first I'm hearing of a lot of this stuff. You know, because I did have some questions, like on the drug issue. I know Medicare cannot negotiate for prescription drug prices because, thanks George W. Bush, we're Americans, damn it, we pay full price. But these Advantage plans, they get to negotiate for lower prices, right?
Yes, they do.
So this is the gimmick. This was the poison pill to destroy to bring the whole system down.
Yeah. Well, the privatization is the camel nose under the tent that's undermining traditional Medicare to the point where you can question its solvency. So exactly. They basically create a situation where more and more the private funds divert money from traditional Medicare, right? It's like 102% of the cost of traditional Medicare. And so all of a sudden you say, well, Medicare doesn't have any money because it's gone over to the private companies. As I mentioned, Medicare is 98% goes to patient care of each dollar. For these private plans, it's 85%, 15% in overhead and profits. So you siphon all that money, and then you say, gee, Medicare's, you know, going bankrupt. Well, I wonder why.
So, you know, I guess the last line of questioning I've got for you, because I'm outraged. I got to imagine people who are, you know, looking at Medicare for the future, you know, worried that it's going to be there. They've got to be outraged. What do people do?
Well, I think we do have to demand an improvement in traditional Medicare. And just like they privatized the drug plans, we got to get rid of that. We got to be able to negotiate drug prices, all drug prices, not 20, but all drug prices through Medicare, and create that risk pool for that. We've got to expand the eligibility of Medicare. Remember, that was the idea originally, Build Back Better, go down to 55. Yes, we need to do that, and we need to keep going down, because what's going to happen as a result of this debt limit is some commission's going to come out and say, let's raise the Medicare age to 67, right?
Yep.
And my God, it's already bad enough out there waiting to turn 65. Imagine two more years, right? So we have to be able to both fight defensively against the privatization, not only against Medicare Advantage, but this other program called ACO REACH. And we've got to then demand Medicare for all. And the way to get there is to improve Medicare, and then to make sure that we lower the eligibility age ultimately to everybody.
Yeah, I'm a supporter of Medicare for all because, look, you know, what we do, what the public pays for, are the most expensive people in healthcare. We pay for the young, we pay for the old. Half of all children born in this country are born on Medicaid. We take care of the poor, with the indigent with Medicaid, and the elderly who use the most of their healthcare in the last 5 years of their life, we've got on Medicare. And then now we're feeding an industry of executives and shareholders now, evidently, too. The healthy people pay insurance premiums to these big companies, and they're siphoning healthcare dollars off. It just seems like common sense to put everybody into that one pool, have one insurance company that pays one set of things. That just seems logical. I guess probably why it'll never happen.
Well, it's not just logical. It's a matter of dollars and cents. I mean, the Congressional Budget Office estimated save $650 billion. In California, the estimate is $158 billion by 2031 if we went to Medicare for all style health system. So and in fact, we can do that, Rick, as you know, and eliminate the out-of-pocket costs we got. No more of those deductibles, right, which is the amount you pay for care after you paid for insurance, the co-pays that you have to do, and the premiums, of course, go away. So it's really quite extraordinary the amount of success the healthcare industry has had lobbying these elected officials to not only privatize the existing public programs, but to prevent the very common sense solution that we all need to be in one program.
Now, I would argue not just lobbying our elected officials, but us. I mean, you know, there are people, no, I don't want Medicare. And you go, do you know? I love my privatized healthcare that denies my care. I love the shiny card in my wallet.
Yeah, it's really something. And the same thing with Medicare Advantage. All those ads on TV, how can you resist, right? I mean, the constant barrage of advertising and the constant barrage that, oh, the private sector is always better, right? Well, yeah, for them.
You're absolutely right. Michael, I appreciate the time. If folks want to get more information, healthyca.org, the website, right?
That is the website. You can go to that website and calculate how much you can save under Medicare for All. And you'd be surprised to learn it's thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah, if only we had a movement to move in that direction. Michael Leidy, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Oh, I would love to, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Good stuff. Make sure you check out the website, healthyca.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. Fan of the show, you've heard our labor history in two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Here now, here is Rick Smith.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I listened to the numbers, and you look at the amount of money that we spend on these Advantage plans, and it's ridiculous. I mean, it really is. It should be criminal. And to have legislators who, you know, Senator Dipsy Doo from Arizona, you know, jumping into that, it's quite remarkable. And the question is how much more of this are we going to put up with? Well, eventually we wake up and say, no, we demand better. We want better. I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, better than I have been. Let's talk about the broken health care system. As y'all know, my husband was taken into the hospital Wednesday night, transported from one hospital to the other. Well, he didn't get operated on until today. They had kept saying, oh, we're going to do it Saturday. Then Saturday they said, oh, well, we can't, blah, blah, because, and their story was, they couldn't find an anesthesiologist. They were shorthanded.
Wow.
And they told us, well, it's not just you. We're backed up with all kinds of surgeries. So he wasn't operated on until today.
Wow. But here's the thing, and this is, you know, I hear this all across the country. You know, coming out of this pandemic, the number of people who have left the industry because of, you know, name the reason, and we just haven't replaced them fast enough. And I don't know if that's, you know, true in every area, but especially in small rural areas. Yeah, I think the shortage is huge. That's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, because this is a major hospital where, you know, we took him to. It's in West Virginia. And I thought, this is ridiculous when this huge hospital claims that their problem is they can't find the anesthesiologist. I thought, no, and if it's not just this major healthcare system, you know, it's a teaching hospital, I thought, these other hospitals, my gosh.
Yeah, imagine. No, I hope he does well. I hope he's okay. I hope he recovers well. Wow.
Yeah, so I just wanted to interject that in there.
I appreciate
it. As an example. So thanks, and he came through surgery well. So I'll talk to you later.
Best to him and you. Thank you, Alice. No, it's scary. And look, you know, the sad reality is, you know, when my son had his appendix burst, it was the kind of the same thing. We were on a holding pattern, waiting for an anesthesiologist, waiting for an operating room, waiting for the resources that because of consolidation, not there. It's you know, and healthcare is one of these things where instead of, you know, it's shrinking, instead of contraction, we should be expanding. Healthcare is one of those industries we should be moving people into. You want to go be a nurse? Tuition's free. You want to go to be a doctor? We're going to pay for that. We're not going to saddle you with a lifetime of debt and a lifetime of student loans. But are we moving on those policies? No, no. And for me, the idea of, I don't want the government running the hospitals. I don't want them hiring the doctors. I want hospitals to run independently. I want them to be run by actual doctors, not bean counters. You know, I know my military friends love TRICARE and the universal system, the government-run healthcare system that is the military system. I don't know as in this country if that would fly. But to have an insurance, one insurance pool, just makes sense from the administrative costs. Just makes sense in the forms, filling out the forms and calling one office. In the having one schedule and not... You know, I had someone, you know, lay out to me why the difference in prices because of the different kinds of baskets that people fall in, self-pay, private insurance.
WAUK. You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyre Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down, it's just one day. It would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Mantner. Here's what you need to know. School kids are missing classes at a consistently high rate. New research shows that chronic absenteeism has been on the rise. That's when a student is absent for 10% or more of school days. Urban areas seeing the highest rates of chronic absenteeism, and if these rates continue, experts say more tutoring or summer school options will be necessary to help students get back on track. Beavers are making a comeback in Wisconsin. Their increase in numbers does have positive impact on the environment, but also provides some conflict with humans. Beaver dams decrease the impact of flooding, recharge aquifers, filter water, and create wetland habitat. But beavers can be a nuisance when they cut down trees on private property or cause flooding where home and landowners don't want it. I'm Jane Mantner for Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
He's only clinging to George because his own support in the House is so iffy that he needs Santos's vote to save his own worthless political hide. This is Jim Hightower saying, Santos is a congenital liar, but McCarthy is a self-serving political hack, and neither one should be in public office.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, a number of states, Arizona, Michigan, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin, the state Republican parties are saying, we want more Trump. Evidently, the disappointing midterms that they had, they want their star to come back and rile the troops. Which is going to be interesting considering the potential for indictments, well, any day now down in Georgia. Well, again, we'll see. We've been down this road. Mueller, you know, Merrick Garland's coming, all of this stuff. I don't know. Georgia's always been that blind spot. Anyway, here's share some thoughts on more Trump. Our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So are indictments coming? Are we planning this? I know I've been hearing this for, well, it's been 4 or 5 years now that they're coming for him. They're going to get him. Do you expect anything?
Well, I've always said that the weak spot is going to be New York. And then after that, after the election, then Georgia was added to that list. I still think New York's a possibility for a couple of reasons. Of course, the company, you know, had problems in New York. But I believe indictments, plural.
Plural.
Yes, plural, are going to be on the way. And if you look at a statement made today, I don't know if this is getting a lot of press attention, but it should. To look at the kind of weird, I guess you'd call it, grand jury system Georgia has, they have two, the grand jury and the special grand jury. It's a little bit different than a normal special grand jury. If you resisted in the grand jury, then you can have a special grand jury convened and has more of the ability, as I understand it legally, to drag people in, which they did, whether it was Lindsey Graham or, you know, Rudy or, you know, the former general that was drug in. They have the ability to do that. Now, Fannie Willis, who's the, I think it's Fulton County, right. You know, DA, the media is hounding the judge. They want to release parts of what the special grand jury is going to send the grand jury, all right? Which, by the way, the grand jury that convenes is convening as we speak today and tomorrow, and I don't know how many days after that. So that's kind of interesting. And Fannie Willis went before the judge, and if you look at what she said, as I understand it, she said that she doesn't want anything released because of the defense capabilities of the potential defendants, plural. She said that.
Okay, yeah.
All right? So if you look at what she said before the judge, defendants, she didn't say, I just don't want this released. She said, because of the defense of the defendants, meaning something's coming and it's multiple. Could be two, could be three. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Trump, but I believe it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen with Merrick Garland and DOJ, but I do think, because if you, I don't think I'm reading into her statement. I think there's something there.
Interesting. No, I'm hoping there are multiple people indicted in this because this was a massive scheme. I'm hoping there are people who, all of those electors who submitted false paperwork, they should be locked up. There's a lot of these crimes that, you know, you and I would have done. We'd have silver bracelets on right now.
Yeah, I know. I messed a piece of paperwork up. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you do know. See,
I know.
But this
is one
of, but here again, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, you ask the average Trump supporter if they'll still support him if he's indicted. And, you know, I'm sure that they're going to go, yeah, because the deep state's coming for him. You know, it's all the deep state. So, you know, this is another one of those moments that, again, you know, feeds into our polarization, don't you think?
Well, it does. Of course, I have a whole different theory. As I said on your show last February, a year ago, that Trump will never be the nominee. If he would go in, if he would go in the convention, he would win. He still will have supporters, no matter what happens here, down here in Georgia. If he goes in the convention, he will win, but I'm arguing he will not go into that convention as a candidate. Just look at what happened, and I don't think it's I'm over-dramatizing. Look what happened this past weekend. There's something beginning to occur there. Maybe not with the hardcore base, but something occurring there. But back to Georgia, yeah, there would be people that would say that, you know, it's a plot, et cetera. But I don't know who's going to be indicted, but there are going to be, like I said, I believe indictments, plural.
Is there a scenario where people are indicted, but it's not Trump? I mean, because we all heard the perfect phone call, which sounds like a crime to me. That sounds like a crime to me.
It could be, but I think that if it was ever happening, it will happen now with Fannie Willis, due to the nature of the phone call of, you know, find me, you know, acquire me. It's not like double check the system to see if there was fraud. It was find me. Can't you find? So, I mean, you can look at a lot of interpretation of that. But if it's going to happen, it will happen with Fannie Willis. It will not happen with DOJ.
Now,
that's looking my feeling.
And looking at what's going on in Georgia, and they're saying a decision is imminent, and they don't want the special grand jury stuff coming out because it is their roadmap. But also today, they began presenting evidence in New York to a grand jury.
Well, that's what I had just said. The two weaknesses.
Yeah, on the Stormy. This is on the Stormy Daniels thing.
Yeah, New York has always been a weak area, but then this was new, popping up, you know, in Georgia. And again, if you look at how these two grand juries operate down there, and her statement, which I just don't think she would go into court and say, "Oh, I don't want this looked at by anybody right now," but she specifically mentioned, doesn't want it to affect the defense of the defendants. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. Something's coming.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, over the weekend you had the Trump event, a high school auditorium with like 400 people.
Right.
And they were saying it was a low-energy rollout of his campaign. And I'm going, low-energy rollout? 400 people in a high school gym, that's a no-energy rollout.
Well, especially for Trump, because look, as you and I know, he had amazing crowds. Of course, you know, so did Bernie Sanders, you know, when he was first running. And that's a high energy thing. And they were drawing, you know, a lot of people. And Trump had that ability to get, you know, thousands of people out at events. Even last year, he would have the ability to do some things. This year, obviously, a lot has happened. The political base that looks at elections and the people that are kind of the movers and shakers within the Republican side have been laying low. They have been in the last 4, 5, 6 months. They've been laying low on this whole thing. And I think when you go to a Trump event, and then, first of all, it was on purpose, no question about it, Rick, as you know the old trick. You have an event,
a small room.
Put it in a small room in a hotel so that you have to open up, you know, the hotel room to fit the crowd, because you know how you do that, you stage it. But in the first place, to have a Trump event in an auditorium, why? And 100 people outside just waiting to get in when it used to be thousands? I mean, but why in the why did they do that? Because they knew it was going to be low energy.
Yeah. Did you see this interview over the weekend where the woman asked him, "Can you say something nice about Joe Biden?" And there was literally nothing he could say.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's kinder in a way to Biden than Mitch McConnell's wife.
Well, there is some truth to that. But I did want to get your thoughts on his backing the Saudi Golf Tour. Evidently, there are going to be a bunch of professional golfers on this LIV golf tour that's going to be going through his courses in Florida, Virginia, and Florida. In Virginia and New Jersey. Any thoughts on does this hurt him at all, the fact that he's marrying up to the Saudis?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's been expected. When Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, when the whole Khashoggi deal started, there was no question that he was in trouble around the world. And there's also no question that Trump stepped in and helped salvage him. No doubt about it. When you get the President of the United States stepping in and then put pressure on other particular leaders, you know, and the Saudis have a lot of money. But as far as Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, there were 85 phone calls to Mohammed bin Salman in a one-month period of time. His father, of course, with the Qataris, was trying to borrow money. There's a whole Mideast deal there going on. And then there was that foundation created with a couple of Trump officials that were forming this consulting group, you know, and all of a sudden they were miraculously paid amazing money to be part of the whole Israeli Arab consortium that, you know, was established through the Trump administration. So you can connect all the dots. So this doesn't surprise me. Look, Pompeo is trying to run for president, which is foolish, but he's trying to run for president. He courted in his book Mohammed bin Salman and, you know, and criticized Khashoggi, who's dead. So there's no shame when it comes to Saudi money.
No.
I used to live in the kingdom, as you know, and worked in a company for a year there. And the kingdom is all about money, and the kingdom uses money to acquire people, places, and things. And golf tournaments to acquire people, places, and things.
And golf tournaments. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst. I also wanted to get your thoughts on, we saw the videos that were released on Friday. I know your son's a police officer. You know, there are good police officers. These kind of things taint the entire entire pool. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on what you saw in that.
Oh yes, I mean it's horrific. It's inexcusable. Now I saw two extremes. These are just a couple of people. I don't want to overdo this on two people make a statement and then it becomes law. One person made a statement that this is done every single day and by everybody. That's not accurate. And then there were other people that totally excused it, which I don't know how they could, and that's not accurate. And I talked to a lot of people, you know, including my son and other police officers I know, and I think, you know, that a lot of police officers are absolutely, completely appalled, you know, and do not side with, with these officers in Memphis. I usually say, there's a court process, and you have to, go through the court process. But if you look at the video, there was no secret thing here where he had a gun or an automatic weapon and we didn't see it. You know, that wasn't the case. And then the high-fiving and, everything else that was done afterwards was just unbelievable.
No, it's disgraceful.
I can't believe it.
No, but it's one of these things that, I keep coming back to. At some point, there has to be change. There has to be some cultural change.
Jim Jordan of Ohio was asked a question in the media about this, and he said, "Well, this is very interesting, Rick." He said, "Well, no law would have prevented this." Well, okay, we have laws about murder, don't we? And maybe that law in itself about murder doesn't prevent a murder, but it helps, obviously, to have the law to deal with somebody that commits murder. So when, somebody makes that statement, well, the passing a law doesn't do anything, there are reasons there are laws, to try to do something. I don't know that you can pass, a law specifically, obviously, for the case, but there can be something done, I assume, to the Department of Justice in particular to have some type of setting of a standard of not just dealing with this, the law will deal with this, but setting of a standard of how people are to deal with situations across the country.
Yeah, I mean, and ending qualified immunity is one of the things that keeps being thrown out. Any thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The qualified immunity, the stuff that that you know basically says that you know they're not going to be held liable.
I would assume they have to have liability.
No, evidently, you know, this is one of the things that even Lindsey Graham's talking about potentially, moving on this qualified immunity stuff that keeps popping up that you know. They're not personally responsible. Obviously, if they get convicted of a crime, that's one thing. But you know, this is what I'm being told is the potential remedy. And I was curious if you had a thought.
Well, I mean, they could have people can have insurance, just like malpractice, and the police officer could have insurance, or the union could, you know, be part of an insurance program that somebody would have to pay out of it because they may not have particular money, you know, themselves, but they would at least would forfeit that. But you know, exempting them from anything with liability would be wrong because anybody that's convicted or not convicted, O.J. Simpson is a great case, was acquitted but went to a civil court, right?
Yeah, eventually, but then he moved to Florida and hid all his money in pension funds, and they didn't get anything filed bankruptcy.
Well, that's true, but at least technically, you can still go after somebody in a civil case. So I would assume why would they be different?
Yeah, but I just looked it up in the definition of qualified immunity is a legal doctrine that keeps police officers safe from civil lawsuits. And it says, look, Democrats want to end it. Republicans, say that it goes too far.
I did not know there's qualified immunity in every case.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things that there's no fear of. It's the city who gets sued. It's not the individuals.
Uh-huh.
So the cities get sued, yeah, and the cities go bankrupt, and the cities do all this stuff, but it's not the individuals.
I knew the cities pay, but I did not know, Rick, that there was qualified immunity in every particular case. I had no idea.
Well, this is what they're saying, and this is why I ask, because I'm not sure where the answer is, because look, I've had friends who have become policemen over the years, and becoming in every case they change. And I think of a friend that I went to high school with who was one of the most passive guys you would have ever met. In fact, I used to beat up on him all the time in high school to try and toughen him up because he could have been a heck of a basketball player if he had a spine. He became a university policeman. And within 2 years, he was basically thrown out for beating people up. So he went from, pacifist to abuser within a very short period of time, and not even really in a big city environment. So I can't imagine the pressure of this mentality that there's a war zone going on and the citizens are the enemy. There's got to be a cultural shift.
Well, I mean, I think that there's good and bad in all aspects of all the fields, and I know we've had a lot of police that have been responsible in things, but in cases like this, you have to look at it and say, something went horrifically wrong, not a little bit wrong, horrifically wrong. There's something there, some culture created by someone or allowed by someone, and that's got to be delved into.
I'm there with you. Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff, my friend.
Thank you, Rick.
As always, our good friend Bob Ney. Want to take a quick break? Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
What follows is for those who want to change the world from what it is to what they believe it should be. Those words were penned in the opening paragraph of the book Rules for Radicals, whose author, Saul Alinsky, was born on this day in labor history. The year was 1909. Saul Alinsky became one of the most famous community organizers in Chicago and even U.S. history. Alinsky was born to Russian Jewish immigrants. He earned his degree in archaeology from the University of Chicago, but could not find work due to the Great Depression. His first turn at organizing was that of a part-time labor organizer for the Congress of Industrial Organizations. Soon, he left labor organizing for a more broad-based community organizing. He worked in the back of the yards, forming the Back of the Yards Council, which became a prototype for scores of community organizations. In 1940, Alinsky formed the Industrial Areas Foundation, which served as a leader in community organizing training. He traveled the country helping to form similar community organizations. He then worked with African American organizations, most notably helping to found Chicago's Woodland Organization. The Woodland Organization took on issues such as segregated housing and community health. The Woodland Organization remains active to this day. Alinsky's Rules for Radicals became a guidebook for organizing strategies for countless campaigns. A Time magazine article claimed that American democracy is being altered by Alinsky's ideas. And National Review magazine founder William F. Buckley said Alinsky was, quote, very close to being an organizational genius. At the core of his book are 12 straightforward maxims. For example, a good tactic is one your people enjoy. Another is keep the pressure on, never let up. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. You can check out our podcast there. Over the weekend, we did an episode on the video. And wow, we had a panel of folks come together for an in-depth discussion. A lot of folks over the years have said, hey, you do these quick hit 15-minute bits. We want to hear more in-depth. So we spent an hour talking about the release of the videos of the murder of Tyre Nichols, and I got to tell you, it was angering. It's frustrating, and I have gotten a lot of responses and good stuff, and I appreciate people putting in their thoughts of ideas on where we go, how we solve things, and I've even got a bunch of emails from people look, trying to defend what they saw. And that's the weird thing for me is that, you look at those videos and it's indefensible what they did. And yet I got the, he shouldn't have run. Oh, it didn't really happen the way the video makes it look. It was staged, was another, basic denialism and conspiracy theory stuff. And this is the kind of fear of where we are. That we're trained that nothing is what it appears, and that if it doesn't fit into our neat little ideology, the police never do this stuff, or the police always do this stuff. You can't solve anything. Look, I say this all the time. I support the police when they're not wrong. In this instance, there is no right here. The first video I saw were, angry cops rushing at a guy who was calm going, hey, are we really going to do this? Hey, can we not? I saw angry policemen who were out for blood. And that guy was running scared for his life and had nowhere to go. I saw them pick him up off the ground and pummel him when he couldn't stand on his own. Indefensible. And the sad reality is we have almost no one anymore in power positions. We've got mass irresponsibility in powerful positions. People who are only out there to push an agenda. You've got politicians who should know better being irresponsible. And it's not just the, you know, the police thing. I mean, I look at the video of Paul Pelosi that was released last week. And immediately the right wing spin machine goes into, oh, looks like he was having a gay tryst. Oh, he was an extra. He was cheating on Nancy with a guy. And oh, it didn't really happen. Oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Denialism, conspiracy theory. Oh, did it really happen the way it looks? And the New York Times went and got some tweets from some representatives who, either doubted that the attack actually happened or the details of the thing, or was it a male prostitution ring? Now, these are elected officials. These are people with big megaphones. These are media personalities. These are commentators who are supposed to be respected, pushing nonsense and conspiracy. The guy who did it evidently was walking out of court and said the only thing that he regrets is he was sorry he didn't get more of them. But even that's not believed, because we've got irresponsible people in leadership. It's up to us, folks. It's up to us to claw some of this back. Senators, congressmen.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.